You know, if pride is at the root of all evil, which absolutely it is, like every evil at the very root of it is pride. But if that's at the root of all evil, what is it that's at the root of all holiness? It's humility. And St. Thérèse of Lisieux, when she was writing about her little way, which she wrote only because out of obedience to her mother superior, she was writing about the little way, and she spoke about how closely united humility and holiness are, in that she said humility is holiness and holiness is humility. And those who refuse to walk the path of humility will have forever blocked to them the path of holiness. You can have all the other virtues, but if you don't have humility, it poisons them, it warps them. You know, the medallions on this church floor, they're arranged in a particular way, right? You have these human virtues, these four coming down this center aisle. They're called the cardinal virtues. The human virtues in which we grow as human beings in goodness. But if you take humility away from them, as good as they are, they can become something wicked and damaging. So like the very back, you have prudence, which you could be the wisest person to ever walk the face of this earth. You have wisdom beyond anyone else. And then prudence is the ability to take that wisdom and apply it, right? But if you don't have humility, even though you're the wisest person in the world, you become a puppet master. It's something that's used to manipulate others. Justice, the next one. You could be the most just person and dedicate your life to fighting for a just cause, fighting against evil, real evil in the world. But if you don't have humility in that, you become puffed up in self-righteousness. And you do more to keep people away from that just cause and the truth than you do to help to bring them to the truth, because you're filled with self-righteousness in your battle for the just cause. There has to be humility that's there. The next one, I love this one with the lion, fortitude, right? Which is that strength when things are difficult in life, that inner strength to have the outer strength to do what's right. But you can have that and lack humility. And you become like, it's a reference like maybe three of you will get if you're in your 30s or 40s. You become like Leroy Jenkins. You have absolutely no sense of how to use that fortitude properly. But instead, in your own vainglory, for your own glory, you just rashly charge in and do more damage than any good. Even temperance. You're like, oh, how could you screw up temperance? Having it where you're able to have control over those bodily passions of yours, you become like the Pharisees. Right? Jesus called them out because it was all performative for them. They fasted more than anyone else, and they truly did. And they had control over those bodily passions of hunger, and they gave greatly. But they did it. Why? So other people could see how great they were. You take humility away, even these really good things, they become warped into something damaging, something evil. So you have the human virtues coming down the main aisle, and then you have the divine theological virtues, which are the ones that we receive as a gift from God. He desires to give to us, but we have to come to Him and ask to receive them. Faith, hope, and charity. Hope without humility is presumption. Not placing my hope in eternal life in Jesus, but just assuming, yeah, of course I have that. I'm fine. I'm a good person. Faith without humility, it just becomes a fanaticism. It becomes a belief in my understanding of something instead of a humble obedience to what's been revealed by God. It's where all heresies come from. Faith without humility. And of course, all of these virtues, they're connected to this one right here, which is charity. Charity itself becomes the opposite. It becomes an inversion. Because you see the connection of what, when you take humility away, what it becomes, the common line, everything becomes about who? Everything becomes about me. Everything is self-serving, and it's about me. And so even love itself becomes this thing in which it's still about me. It's about me. Everything is self-serving. Instead of it being truly what it is, which is what charity is, it's self-giving. It's the love that God is. It's God who gives himself to us, self-gift. And people sometimes think, you know, it's only those extroverts who are after attention that are the prideful ones. You can be the most introverted person in the whole world, and you can struggle like mad with pride, because pride is the person who's just thinking all the time about themselves. Oh, what are other people thinking about me? And oh, what does this mean for me? It's just, everything is about them. That's the essence of pride. The humble person, they're self-forgetful. They don't think, you know, it's a saying which is so true, they don't think less of themselves, they think less about themselves. They're self-forgetting. Because everything that they have in life and everything that their life is about, it's not about them. Everything they've received, it's not about them. That they've received something for the sake of others, of serving God and serving others. You know, in the spiritual life, we can sometimes in our pride think that in order to grow in your relationship with God, it's all about doing some big dramatic thing, right? I'm going to go on this, you know, 30-day fast, and I'm going to do this hardcore stuff, and I'm going to come out the other side, and I'll be whole. The spiritual life, God, he knows us, and the most powerful things are sometimes those humble little things that we do. Just to give an example of one that goes in the history of the church, but there's one group in which it's part of what they do. There's a group in the church called Opus Dei. People are members of it. And this one little spiritual practice they do every morning is when they roll out of bed, just like all of us do eventually, when they roll out of bed, they roll right onto the floor, and they'll either directly kiss the ground or they'll give a gesture of a kiss with their forehead to the ground. And they'll say the word servium, which means I will serve. They begin the day with this act of humility. Servium. I will serve this day God and others, which is a powerful act because it's the opposite of what was it that Lucifer and the other angels said to God when they fell. What did they say to him? They said, non servium, I will not serve. I will not serve because pride was the sin of Lucifer and it was his fall. And so this act of humility, I will serve. There was one of the desert fathers who were these monks who had gone into the desert in the early days of the church. His name was John Climacus. He was known as John of the Ladder because he spoke about this ladder to heaven. And what that ladder is the ladder of humility. But there was a funny thing with him in which he pointed out that, you know, Satan, the one thing he can't imitate, the one thing he can't mimic, because he can mimic wisdom. Satan knows all sorts of stuff. He can mimic even temperance. Satan is a true gentleman. He is kind and polite when he needs to be. He can certainly mimic fortitude. He can mimic even in different ways some of these things and twist them into other things like hope and faith and acts of generousness for manipulative purposes. But John of the Ladder, St. John of the Ladder said, the one thing that Satan cannot mimic, he can't imitate, is humility, because it's the exact antithesis of who he is in his pride. And it's why it's so powerful. And it's why it is so powerful in our approaching God. But there's not just us approaching God in humility. This is the other part of it. It's also God approaching us. Humility is what makes one approachable. When I was in seminary, I had for a couple years a spiritual director. His name was Father Bill Lyons. And there was something about when I met with him, just instantly I was able to sort of talk about and reveal all sorts of stuff freely. And I was like, why is that? And you know people like this, who you just feel like, okay, you can share things with. There's a freedom with them. It's because he was humble. Humility is what makes a person approachable. The book of Sirach, it says that conduct your affairs with humility and you will be loved more than if you are a giver of great gifts. Why? Because others are able to approach you, not because of anything they're even looking to receive from you, but because they're able to reveal all those things going on within to you. Now take that on human form and apply it to God. It's not just us through humility that are approaching God. God doesn't just look at you and say, hey everyone, you need to be humble. Do it. You're doing a really poor job of it. No, instead what he always does is he says, come and follow me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and meek of heart. And this is God, our God, who humbled himself and became one of us and came to us so that we would be able to approach him. He approached us, we would approach him. Which you have to understand how radically different this was before Jesus. We hear in the book of Hebrews that something has been transformed because before God humbled himself and came to us, it's not like God was proud. That's not the sense he had to humble himself. It's because they were terrified of God because he was so other than them. He was so beyond them. And so when he would speak to them, as we hear alluded to in Hebrews, at Mount Sinai, when they came and God spoke to them the first time he gave them the Ten Commandments, everyone who was there heard God speaking to them directly. I am the Lord your God. Paul, you shall have no other gods beside me. Doug, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. But you were hearing this addressed directly to you every single time. Chris, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbors. And it's kind of jarring. You know what the people did when they heard God approach them in this way and speak directly to them? Well, you hear it alluded to in Hebrews. They begged Moses, please tell him don't do that. Because he came in this storm cloud in all his power and all his might. And it terrified them. And so they said, please, you go and encounter God. Go up the mountain and then bring back what he says to us. We no longer want to hear his voice speak directly to us because he was so holy and other and powerful. And so the only way we were able and we are able to approach God is because he humbled himself and he took human form and he came to us, and it's how we're able to approach him. Even if all these other virtues, you're kind of a mess with them, like you struggle a lot, you're not very wise at all, you're really weak and cowardly, and temperance, forget about it, you're just a mess. God, if you have humility, can take that and even draw those weaknesses to draw, use those weaknesses to draw you closer to him, if you have humility. It's the way we're able to approach God who has approached us and has drawn us even into this banquet table where you're able to come and approach him. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. Only say the word and I shall be healed. And we approach him humbly and we receive him at his banquet who has come to us. So at this Mass, to just ask God as you prepare to come to receive him in the Eucharist or in a blessing, Lord, help my heart to desire humility, to desire it, to see the beauty of it in you, so that I may want that in my own life, so that I can approach you and receive you who approach